It doesn't matter what kind of e-commerce brand you're building, you still need a rock-solid way to grow and scale your company like clockwork. Welcome to Seven Figures and Beyond, an e-commerce marketing podcast for D2C brand owners and marketers looking for best practices that include proven strategies and tactics to grow an e-commerce brand to seven figures and beyond. Bringing 18 plus years of marketing experience as an e-commerce brand owner and e-commerce agency owner, please welcome your host, Greg Shuey.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 17 of the Seven Figures and Beyond podcast. I hope everyone is having a marvelous day. I mean, it's starting to turn into spring here in Utah. I know that it's starting to get warmer in other areas of the country as well. And so, really excited about that. And it does. It makes your day just a little bit better when you start to see the flowers and whatnot. Today's going to be just an amazing discussion. It's going to rock so much. We're going to be talking with Harry Tripp from a company called Sperry. And if you have not ever heard of Sperry before, they are a pretty cool shoe company. In fact, I think they were one of the first brands that were well known for boat shoes. I mean, I had never really heard of boat shoes before until I had heard of Sperry. They've been around for a minute. So they're pretty cool. Our discussion today is going to be about how to develop and optimize a full funnel paid media strategy. This is one of the things that we haven't talked a lot about on the podcast yet is paid media. So I'm very excited. And I think that it is an important discussion for a couple of reasons. So first, I think there are too many brands out there who don't know or understand what a full funnel approach is when it comes to paid media. And second, there are just so many things that you can do, so many levers that you can pull in the paid media world. So what should you be focusing on? What campaigns should you be running? How do you make all parts of the funnel work together cohesively and to work as efficiently and effectively as possible? And so it's going to be an awesome discussion. It's going to be really meaty. So I'm sure it's also going to be pretty fast paced as well, because we try to keep these to about 30 to 45 minutes. Harry, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be on.
Awesome. So before we jump into our discussion, would you just take a couple of minutes and introduce yourself to our listeners and share a little bit about your personal story and how you've gotten to where you are today?
Yeah, certainly. So my background is a mix of agency as well as in-house. So I started my career on the agency side. I work for a small agency out of Boston, where I still live today. And there I got to work on a lot of different accounts. I think the agency was kind of unstructured in the way its departments were segmented. So as an associate there, you just kind of flexed into whatever areas and responsibility you were interested in and felt like you wanted to take initiative of. And so I worked primarily within like the paid media strategy for a lot of these companies, mainly B2B, but some B2C as well. And so was setting up lead gen campaigns on LinkedIn, meta campaigns, Google ads, remarketing display strategies. And so I really enjoyed that, but I wanted to move towards a consumer brand and work in-house. I've always had a passion since I was young for consumer brands. My family always makes fun of me for it and that like you don't need to buy a $300 cool, you know, but I've just really resonated with the way that brands kind of make you feel and the community behind them. So I moved in-house to Wolverine Worldwide, which is the parent company that owns a lot of global shoewear companies. So some of those brands are Merrell, Saucony, Wolverine Boots. And I started my career working for Keds and Hush Puppies, helping to manage their e-commerce paid media strategy. So cool. I was doing that for about a year and a half. And then for the past about year and a half, I've been working for Sperry, which you introduced at the beginning. So a lot of heritage behind that brand, invented the boat shoe, been around since 1935, has a lot of roots within coastal, like New England. So really, really enjoy working for the brand. And my main responsibility is to oversee our paid media strategy, specifically as it relates to driving conversions to the website. And I do that in collaboration with a couple media agencies that we work with across the channels, paid search, paid social, programmatic, and affiliate.
That's awesome. And I love that you got your start in an agency setting. I think some of the best marketers come out of agencies because they see so many different clients and so many different kind of industries, verticals, and they're able to learn a lot and see a lot of different things. And so I love that. I love talking to folks like you. All right, let's jump in. So the first question that I have is, can you walk us through the process of initially setting up a full funnel paid media strategy for a high revenue e-com brand? Like, what are the key components that we need to look at and consider at each stage of the funnel? Those types of things.
All right. So starting from the top, there's a lot to that question, but you have to define what your brand strategy is. And that comes from really high up and permeates through all aspects of the business. So for us, we're targeting this idea of the new coastal is what we call it, and leaning into the heritage of the brand. We've been around for 90 plus years, trying to message into like authenticity and curiosity and target the anchored optimist, which is our target consumer, ages 25 to 40. They're fashion enthusiasts, they're adventurous, they have a connection to the water. And so you can break the paid media side down into two aspects, brand media and performance media, and each have a different goal, a different audience tactic and measurement. So the brand side, your goal is to drive awareness and consideration. Your audience would be the anchored optimist. Your tactics for us are across online videos, so like YouTube, connected TV, like Hulu, and then Meta as well. And then you have specific measurement for those tactics. And so for top of funnel media, you're looking at in-platform benchmarks. You're comparing to what you did in the past. You're looking at brand lift studies. You could be looking at post-purchase surveys, not something that we do currently, but I think is really valuable for top of funnel, asking like, where are you heard of us first? And then the other side is performance media, and that's where my expertise is within. And so the goal there is really just to drive conversions to the website, but there's still like a full funnel within all of that. And so the audience for us, it depends on the platform. We can get into it potentially, but it's usually people who are in market, might be leveraging like lookalikes and all that. And then the primary way that we measure those is through DDA attribution. So that's data-driven attribution is the attribution model we primarily look at. But we also look at our MMM to help determine allocations and spend across all those different tactics. And I think that was a really big unlock for us. If you're a brand running across so many different channels with different goals, top of funnel, mid funnel, lower funnel, having that view and understanding where your incremental like dollar is best spent across which tactic has really been important and helped us hone our strategy and our spend across these tactics and realize that we're spending a little bit too much in the performance side and that we can invest more in brand and then go even tactically like deeper from there. Like, what do we want to invest in online video or Hulu or Meta? So that's been really helpful for us. But that is essentially how you go about thinking about a full funnel strategy.
That's awesome. Do you guys have a tool that you use to look at that attribution data and to figure out where you should be deploying spend?
Yeah, so we use, for our MMM, we use Ipsos. Okay. And then for our attribution modeling, we use DoubleClick tags through Google, Google Campaign Manager. And then we're able to report out on those through, we look at Power BI and we also have an Access database that we can pivot off of. And we look at DDA attribution, but we're also looking at first touch attribution as well to understand like where consumers first interacted with the brand prior to purchasing. And so that's been really helpful to view. You don't look at one with any, you look at all of them directionally and kind of piece it together to kind of understand your story and how you want to optimize, but you don't want to put too much stake or weight in any which one.
Gotcha. Cool. Thank you for sharing. I'm always curious what enterprise level businesses are using to track all of that and to look at their reporting and whatnot. Some of that's probably overkill for smaller brands, but thank you for sharing that. That's awesome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. So can you give an example of what your creative strategy looks like across top, middle, and bottom of the funnel to really optimize for conversions?
Yeah, really good question. So for top of funnel, I'll give an example of a online video campaign that we did that we primarily ran on YouTube and Meta. So it was called Always New. And so it was just a way to share the new products that we have while still connecting it back to the DNA of Sperry. So it was our newest updates on like the boat shoe and our sneakers and new colors, and showing that like we're still Sperry. We still have all these products that you love, but we have innovated a little bit to be more on trend with the current market. And so that like YouTube video that we shared kind of followed this framework that that Google helped us look at, which is the ABCD. And I've heard a bunch of different frameworks, but I really like this one. So like attention is considering your hook, capturing the attention within the first 3 seconds. So for us, this starts out with our logo at the front with like the waves crashing on the beach. And then the B is the branding. So then you show the product and the on model lifestyle image, the models kind of dancing around the beach and showing, having like quick, snappy images flashing. And then there's the C, which is the connection. So what is the feeling that you want to provoke from the audience? And then lastly is the direction, which can be considered like the call to action. And a lot of videos break down this way, even within performance marketing too. You look at UGC videos and they kind of follow similar framework. So think of the same thing at the top of the funnel, and you can go check out that Always New video on YouTube. It's still up on our page. And then how we consider aligning with that creative strategy in the performance side is we try and take a lot of the photos and the videos and products that were shot from that campaign and then boil it down into a direct response ad. So direct response ads for shoes are going to be very focused on the shoe. We found that lifestyle images zoomed out like of on model don't work.
It's hard.
It's difficult.
Hard to see it.
You see it and you're not really sure what the ad is for, right? Is it for the clothes on the model? Is it the shoe? You don't really know. So for performance-based marketing, really show up close the on model product or even just the product image on its own. And then the framework that we like to look at for creative strategy on the performance side, and I stole this from I'll say borrowed actually is a better word. So, but I got to give him, I borrowed this from Common Thread Collective and Taylor Holiday who shared this. And it's the idea of having a concept, which is the intersection between three things that every creative has, which is your offer, your audience, and your angle. So the offer is the what are you selling? Your audience is who you're selling to. And then your angle is how you're going to sell it. And so thinking about creative strategy and like the performance marketing channels from that perspective helps us really submit better briefs, informative briefs, helps people brainstorm, because you can change any one of those three aspects and you come up with a new concept that you can then test out and figure out which of those combinations of offer, audience, and angle work best for you.
Interesting. I hadn't seen that. Is that something he shared on LinkedIn? I'm sure it probably is.
Yeah. He's LinkedIn, YouTube, podcast. That's a big thing that they've shared, but it's really interesting. And I've gotten really positive feedback from like the creative team and sharing that framework and just from everyone on the team. It's easy to understand. And I think the results have been really powerful. But what's interesting with Sperry is that a lot of our top performing ads are dynamic ads. And I've come to understand this, that a lot of bigger brands that have a big wholesale presence, it's not just you're trying to get started on e-commerce and spread awareness. Usually the dynamic ads work really best on Meta, and leveraging that the AI and the feed to then serve the specific product that someone is now in market for, rather than serving a product that directs to a specific PDP. So like a static image of our boat shoe doesn't actually perform well as a dynamic carousel that knows that this person wants a boat shoe and serves it like directly to them as the first image in the carousel. And it's interesting. It's kind of frustrating in that like you feel like there's not much creative strategy going on. Like, it's just you're leveraging Meta.
Yeah.
But I think understanding that that is the case for a lot of brands, leaning into that and then running tests on your dynamic ads has been important. And you can update things within the feed in the back end too, to have a carousel of your best sellers, your high AOV products, products above 50 plus messaging, like shop now, pay later for Afterpay has been a good unlock for us. So yeah, that's a long-winded answer for saying like the creative strategy on the performance side is interesting, but primarily it's dynamic based, whereas the top of funnel is just driving that consideration.
Yeah. I love that you bring up the feed. I think a lot of marketers don't work in the feed. I think it's something that is just, maybe it's a little scary. When you hear feed, you think maybe coding, like, you know, I don't think that that is leveraged enough to be able to test. And so thank you for bringing that up. That's awesome. So you've talked a little bit about your audience. Let's talk about how you approach your audience segmentation and targeting for your campaigns.
Yeah. So again, I'll kind of answer it with splitting it between brand and performance. So yeah. In brands, you're trying to figure out what targeting parameters on any platform that you're on best align with your target consumer. So for us being the anchored optimist, so on Meta, you're leveraging like the in-market parameters, you're leveraging interest-based parameters, someone who's interested in fashion and shoes, maybe different magazines. And so that stems from a lot of like the consumer research and segmentation done from our agency. The performance side is a little different and depends on the tactic. So paid search, it's kind of based on keywords that you target. And we look at that as like having brand versus non-brand. And so that's like demand creation and demand capture. And then within display, you have a lot of the same options as brand, such as like lookalikes and in market and interest base. And so we test and leverage those tools. But on Meta, I think is the most interesting one. And that has changed so much within like the last 3-4 years is that we're primarily running broad audiences on Meta. And so your creative is now essentially your strategy. And you can still, you're now supposed to think about where you want to speak to your customer, where they are within the consumer journey and what aspects of your creative are going to align with that. So someone who's never heard of your brand before, introduce like your flagship product, introduce your boat shoe, introduce the key benefits of that. Whereas within a remarketing campaign within Meta, use your creative to bring in some social proof, some reviews, some credibility from like PR publications as featured in XYZ, right? To establish that credibility, leverage like the DPAs to understand what product pages someone clicked on, and then Meta will serve that exact product back to them in a remarketing ad. So it's interesting. Yeah, the targeting definitely varies across the tactics, but that's essentially how we tackle it.
That's awesome. Cool. So let's talk about budget. So like, how do you consider allocating spend across your paid media mix? And what channels have you found over the last year that have been most effective for the brand?
Yeah, good question. I mentioned the use of an MMM earlier. So I think that's really important when you're running across many different channels. And then I guess one thing I want to mention is the impact of flighting mid-funnel dollars ahead of peak transactional periods. So you can take Black Friday, for example. You'd think logically, if you're not in the space, oh, you just want to spend all your money when the demand is right on Black Friday. But what happens is you have really inflated CPCs because of high competition. So what you want to do with Black Friday and just any peak transactional period, whether it's like a big sale that you're having, is increase your budgets within your mid-funnel tactics. So that would be like your prospecting campaigns within display and within Meta to acquire new customers, and increase those about 2 weeks. I guess it depends on the brand and how long your buying window is, and understanding like what is the time to purchase after someone finally like first interacts with your ad. So there's some research that can be done on that. And so we've understood that it's around 2 weeks. I think post-purchase surveys are a really good way to understand that as well. Something that we don't leverage at the time, but understanding what that time frame is and then flighting your mid-funnel dollars ahead of that to then grow your cookie pools. And then when the peak transactional time period comes, you're leveraging remarketing where you're going to see much higher conversion rates. And you're not going to have as much competition as you would if you were just to increase your prospecting dollars on Black Friday. And so that's the best and most efficient way to acquire new customers and manage your spend effectively.
That's awesome. I love that you bring up post-purchase surveys. You brought it up a couple of times. One of the things one of the things that I love to look at in there is that time to order, right? Mm-hmm. Like how long did you know about us before you made this purchase? I have a couple of clients that they have 40 to 50%. It's taken them between 9 and 12 months to make a purchase. And, you know, when you look at that, you can figure out this is how we build our paid media campaigns. This is how we build our email nurture campaigns so that we can educate, nurture, and bring our messaging to people during that time point, but maybe you can also speed up that purchase as well. And so I love that. So the last part of that question is, what channel has been most effective for the brand over the last couple of years? Where have you guys put, more of your budget and how have you done that?
So the channel for us that's been most effective and where we spend the majority of our ad dollars is actually paid search. And I think that's contrary to a lot of e-commerce brands that spend primarily the most of their dollars within Meta and paid social and prospecting efforts. I think it kind of stems back to that idea that Sperry has a lot of demand and consideration already, being such a big brand and having the wholesale presence that it does. So we spend the most of our dollars within search. And like a big unlock for us has been leveraging PMax and then also consolidating our search campaigns. Before we were really segmented out by like almost single keyword ad groups and like the old way of like media buying to increase quality score and all that. But now we're leveraging broad match keywords, trying to expand our reach there, leveraging more consolidated campaigns. And then PMax is inherently more consolidated as well. So that's really helped us drive demand. I think there is definitely a little bit of downside to that, and that you can't push demand for a specific product, or you can't, or it's a little more difficult to, rather than having that segmented out. But naturally, the algorithm is going to find the person, or it's going to optimize towards the product that has the most demand at that point, given your ROAS target or whatever you set. So we optimize towards a target ROAS. So that's been really effective, and we see it in the year over year numbers as we're looking at it. I think we implemented it around this time last year, and the improvements we've seen there. I think one thing that's interesting is that we found ourselves investing in maybe a little too much within search at one point across some of the brands. And so what we saw is like a decline in organic traffic, because when you're not investing as much spend within your mid-funnel channels, you're not creating that demand. You're just doing demand capture within search, and you're seeing high ROAS. And I think that's what we're chasing, trying to gain short-term revenue to claw back to our forecast misses. But what we learned is that that's ultimately detrimental to the long-term growth of the brand. And then we were able to kind of look at the MMM once that was available to us and see that, hey, we were maybe invested a little bit too much within some of these branded search campaigns, and we should invest more of it within our prospecting campaigns within Meta or display.
Interesting. Very cool. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that you guys put more of your budget towards paid search. It kind of, to me, when we look at our base of clients here, we work with a lot of young brands that are between, $1 and $3 million a year in revenue, and they're heavy Meta. Right. Mm-hmm. And then when we look at some of the more mature brands that we work with, it is heavy paid search. And so it's just kind of how mature your business is, the season of your business, and really what works and what's going to drive the best return on your marketing dollars. So pretty cool. All right. So what metrics do you look at and prioritize to measure the effectiveness of your paid media campaigns across the entire funnel? And how frequently do you look at those metrics and make adjustments based on what you're seeing?
Yeah, great question. I think this is a really important question for businesses to answer, because how you structure your hierarchy of metrics is going to determine how you structure your campaigns and like how you view different channels and the optimizations that you make. So our top business metric is hitting our forecast and doing so at a certain target ACOS goal, which is advertising cost of sale, which is just your ad dollars spent on paid media divided by the amount of net revenue for that you bring in for the website.
I love that you guys look at that metric. A lot of brands don't even know what that ACOS is. I mean, the ones who do know what it is advertise on Amazon, because that's like one of the core metrics.
Yes.
A lot of young brands have no idea what ACOS is. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, I think ACOS is an important metric. And the inverse of that is actually media efficiency ratio. And I don't feel like a lot of people talk about that. But I think that's what a lot of smaller e-commerce businesses will look at and optimize to. So it's pretty much the same efficiency metric. Our percent of net or ACOS goal is determined based on our forecast from finance and the specific outcome that we want on our top line and our bottom line. So that's ultimately what we're optimizing towards from a business standpoint. And then how we kind of derive that into specific marketing metrics that we can measure would be through a DDA ROAS target based on our budget amount that we have, that ladders up to the percent of net that we need to get, as long as every single channel that we're forecasting hits its goal, if that makes sense.
It does. For those who don't know what DDA is, will you explain that?
Yeah, DDA is data-driven attribution. And so it's a attribution model that gives credit to the different touch points that a consumer has across its purchase journey.
Awesome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Cool.
So we look at DDA and then we across all the channels, and we'll provide channel level allocations of our budget based on kind of the MMM and what's worked for us in the past. And then we work with our agency to understand at what budget level for every single channel is going to yield a estimated ROAS goal. And does that meet our blended ROAS that we need to hit in order to hit our percent of net or ACOS goal? And so then we're holding each channel to its individual DDA ROAS goal, with the biggest importance being the blended DDA ROAS. So a lot of the adjustments that we'll make will be to improve our blended ROAS ultimately. And so we might shift money from display into paid social if we're seeing higher efficiency and higher DDA ROAS there. Those are types of adjustments that we make. I think when it comes down to adjustments, you have like four options really. You can either do nothing, you can pull back, you can push, or you can implement something tactically like launch a new campaign. And so those are like the four options that we have. And we're reviewing that very frequently. I think the cadence that we have is we're reviewing last week's performance, coming together on Monday, synthesizing the data and understanding what we might need to push or pull or implement for that coming week in order to hit our goals. And then we'll review that, the impact of those adjustments come Thursday, and understand how the site's pacing as a whole and whether or not we can continue to push or pull back. And then we usually try to avoid making adjustments on Fridays, knowing that you make an adjustment and then it's going to take a few days for the platform to optimize towards that adjustment, whether you pulled your spend back, you updated the ROAS target. It takes a few days. So you don't want to be pushing or pulling levers. I think media buying is just as much knowing what levers to pull, as well as knowing what levers not to pull and when to pull them. Those are usually the cadence that we're looking at it. But we're certainly open to making adjustments at any point if we feel that it's going to be most beneficial in hitting our KPIs.
That's awesome. So are you looking at the data daily, or are you looking at it weekly and then figuring out what adjustments you need to make?
Yeah, we look at DDA revenue and DDA ROAS daily. There is a little bit of a lag. We don't see that in full time. We'll see it about a day later. So we'll use in-platform metrics to kind of make calls on tests, and then also use it as like kind of a diagnostic metric to gain just maybe an understanding of what's going on, like looking at conversion rate and seeing that that is up because of like a promo that we just launched, and using those to help contextualize and tell the story of how we're seeing performance.
Okay. Awesome. Cool. Well, to kind of take us home, like, what's the future look like? Like, what are the biggest trends in e-commerce that brands should pay attention to this year? And then also, I mean, going into next year, like, what should they be thinking about, and where do you think this is all going?
Right. Yeah. Good question. I mentioned it's very important to define what your business metrics are going to be and what your North Star is. And I really feel like brands are shifting towards a profit-driven approach to advertising. And so instead of prioritizing percent of net, ACoS, or a MER target, that being secondary to a contribution margin dollar target. And for people who don't know what contribution margin is, it is essentially your revenue minus the variable costs associated with the sale of that product. So that would be your advertising spend, your cost of delivery, shipping, factoring and returns, et cetera. And so once you know what that is, you can understand from a profit standpoint how you're performing, and prioritizing that, I think, is the shift that a lot of brands are moving towards, because you might have a strict ACoS target, but you might see a higher profitability at a higher ACoS. And that should be the ultimately what you're optimizing towards to the end of the day. And that's why ACoS should be a secondary metric to contribution margin. So I've been hearing a lot of people talk about it. I've been seeing brands make the shift. I'm sure you have an understanding of that and like the unit economics of the businesses that you work with. So I think that's a really important trend, and people are going to continue to optimize towards that, and technology is going to optimize towards that. Updates are going to be made within Meta and Google. It's already happening, so that people can measure profit more effectively.
Yeah, it's interesting. I love that you bring that up. I mean, I can't get on LinkedIn without seeing someone talking about that. And getting profitable on your first order. It used to be like, he who can spend as much as possible to acquire a customer is going to win at the end of the day. Now it's he who can spend as little and get as profitable as possible on each order is going to win at the end of the day. So I think, you've shared a lot of awesome insight here. You've also shared a lot of, I think, new terms that a lot of e-commerce businesses may or may not know about. So they've got their homework cut out for them to, one, figure out what those new terms are and what they mean for their business, but then to go back to the drawing board and figure out how to get those numbers and be able to start running their business off of those numbers. So I think that was a perfect way to kind of wrap this up. So that was fantastic. Thank you, Harry. Thank you again for being with us today and sharing those things with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, man. So in our next episode, I will be chatting with Michael Epstein from Postpilot. And if you haven't heard of Postpilot before, they do postcard marketing. Pretty groundbreaking, right? I'm joking. They have an amazing tech behind their service that really helps brands capture more lost revenue, reactivate old customers, and turn them into additional revenue to grow lifetime value and so forth. And to be honest, I'm not sure what our discussion is going to be about. They have a lot of new things rolling out. This may be our first episode ever where we don't have a planned agenda. So I guess we will see. And that wraps everything up for today. So as always, take what you've learned here, make a plan, figure out a direction, and take massive action against that plan. So thank you everyone for joining us today, and we will see you next time.